Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, you are good. The beauty of the feasting upon this precious truth and love. And Lord, the fruit that comes forth. We stand in awe of you. Lord, you are the one. We are your workmanship. Lord, thank you that we are created in Christ Jesus. Oh my. And Lord, the good works that you are bringing forth, Lord, the praises to you, the faith, Lord God, that wondrous encouragement of your grace that even when we believe not, you abide faithful. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you've taught us and shown us in your love. You just said, take of me, take of me. And we do, we take of you. And Lord, there's the sowing and the watering that you have caused by your grace and mercy to put into our lives, Lord God. You have performed that good work in us. And Lord, then you give this increase that we watch, this increase, this manifold glory that comes forth. Lord, we just stand again in praise and thanksgiving that we give glory to you. And Lord, what a time it'll be to give you that kiss. Oh, the kiss of the best wine, Lord God. It's going to be the best wine. And Lord, thank you for this abundance, Lord, all of you, all from you. There is no glory but you. And thank you, Jesus, that we're here to believe your word, to receive more. And Father, thank you, you've made us rich for you. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Praise his name. I just rejoice. And for those that don't know, some of those that sang for us today, that at the piano was Graham. And Precious Graham is the, the son of Sarah and Danelli. Jennifer, I take that back. I'm sorry. I get Sarah and Dorothy so interchanged because they're just cherubim glory right there together. So excuse me, Jennifer. Sorry, honey. I'm Emily. Emily, Jennifer. I don't know. Here we go. I just don't know. You got lots to pray for here, I want you to know. So there you go. The Lord does want me to say this. I don't know how it's coming out, but he's got it here in my heart. But his grandma Dorothy, and then that precious mom and dad of hers, the Hyatts. And there it is. There it is, you see. And then little, she's a young lady growing up so fast, and I pray more and more, and I can see it in the Lord. And Mary Caroline, there's Lynn and Scott, and they're grandparents of her. And then we have Precious Noah, and there's the Burge line. And you stay in that vein, and I'll tell you, fruit comes forth a hundredfold. So we thank God. I didn't mean to throw things on the altar here. I got it, and we're going to use it. How's that? So, but we thank the Lord for this, don't we? How rich we are and what God does. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. Begin reading from verses 5 and 6. And this is right after the sixth trumpet. We've entered at this moment into, well, we've been in at this time of Revelation. You're in the tribulation time, that seven-year period that is right upon us. And basically, we're right at the middle of it. See, you have the tribulation, which is those 7 years, and then the last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation, all right? And so this is being spoken right before we go into the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. All right, so let's go ahead and read from verses 5 and 6 here. And it says, "The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So this announcement comes in there shall be no more time. That time should be no longer. And once again, this is specifically referring to the time of the middle of the tribulation. The time of the Gentiles is over. That time is done. As Jesus Christ said as he came, he said, I came unto my own, the Jew, and my own received me not. And that's when he turned to the Gentiles. And praise be to God, that opening was for us. That was at that time introducing, and at Pentecost, right there at that time, that's when we had the beginning of the church age, this age that we live in. And I pray that we are alive in and getting ready to be the glory in for him, which is the bride for the Lamb of God. Praise God. But here what we have is this time into the tribulation, right at the middle of it, that the Gentile, the time of the Gentiles is over. That time of the church is done. He's received those companies, the bride. He's received the innumerable multitude, and he has received the 144,000. The church is complete. It is home with God, and the time of the Gentiles is over. The last 3.5 years is going to be dealing with that Antichrist and putting it down. And what a time that will be. And I plan, by God's grace, to be in that company that'll be ruling and reigning with him. On them white horses, praise God, coming on down and giving forth his judgment. And oh, how he will be magnified in judgment. So let's not get bent out of shape right now. Let's be molded and made after all his perfect and complete will. And get ready for a trumpet blast. Amen? All right. You'll find that as well, too. Just give you a reference scripture, Daniel chapter 12, specifically in the 7th verse. So it says here that time shall be no more. But I want you to understand this. This isn't the first time that a time period ended. The first time period that we have, in a sense, dealing with man is the age of innocence. And that ended at the Garden of Eden, that age of innocence, when Adam fell. When he ate of that fruit and fell, that age of innocence in the garden, that was done. There are other ages as well. One that you're familiar with is the age of the law. That law that was given to Moses. That age was finished. That time was done at the cross. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But today, praise God, the Lord's encouraged my heart. We're at another time that is upon us, and it could be today. And that moment, praise God, is going to be gone, and it's going to be gone forever. And praise the Lord, it's the moment that's going to be announced that it's complete by the trumpet blast. It says in the Word of God that that trumpet will blast and heaven will open, praise God. And it'll be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, that will call her home. And it will be, I'm confident in it. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He's going to holler at that window, I've come for you, my bride. And that window of the ark, just as in the ark, it'll open up. And praise be to God, she'll be gone. But we're at that time for the preparation of the bride. The readiness of the bride is about complete. And that time to be ready for his appearing will be no more. Now, God's so good to us, and he is. And he shows us in his scriptures clearly, I'm not kidding. I love you that much. And this is a time that you need to be ready. And this wondrous truth, it's there for anyone. God's not a respecter of person. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. People often say, well, how could some be born over here and some be born over there and all of this? Let me tell you something. God's foreknowledge is perfect. I was thinking about, as today we have this birth of a nation, this nation that we call the United States of America, how God, and it was God, and don't let anybody ever tell you, it was God who brought you here. Let me say it again. It was God who brought you here. And he brought you here for one purpose, to hear this truth, to be here at this day, at this time, in this rejoicing. And let me tell you something, by the grace of God, each and every one of us, I pray today that we thank him and praise him with all that is within us, that he was the one. He was the one. He was the one that brought us here. And it was for one purpose. It was to be ready to be the bride for the Lamb of God. That is our story. That is our life. And that is our truth. Amen. Are we not sons of God today? Amen. Are we not seated in the heavens in Christ today? Amen. Amen. Huh? Come on now. And where is our citizenship? Is it here? No, it's not. It is in heaven. And I thank the Lord for this. And I'll tell you what, it's a good fight of faith. And you better have them gloves on or off. And you better fight and fight with all that's within you. Or the enemy is going to get you to set that crown down for something that was a mess of pottage, and you don't want that to happen. All right. Now, that time, praise God, is upon us, brothers and sisters. And hear God in his faithfulness in Song of Solomon chapter 6. He gives us this encouragement. He gives us this, for us that are by his grace alive and awaiting and expecting, not doubting, confident in him that he'll perform the good work which he's begun. Amen? 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 I'm not doubting him to finish me, praise God, to be ruling and reigning with him in the midst of the throne. I'm confident in grace. I know I have not already attained, but I'll tell you what, I'm certain that grace not only can do it, but will do it. Amen. Will perform the good work which he's begun in me. I'm standing on that, and by the grace of God, I do not want to waver. And I cannot look at this flesh. By the grace of God, it's all the new man. I have put off the old man. I have put off the old man. And I have put on the new man. That is done. Christ has done that. It's not an exchange, this and that. It was done. Praise God, at the moment I believed, Christ Jesus came to live in me. I've got one life, and it's Christ, and he lives in me, and he lives in you as a son and daughter of God, and know it. Now, where were we? Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and here in verse 12. How glorious this is. Ever I was aware, my soul, what did it do? This is the Shulamite, the bride, talking. What had happened to her soul? It made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Return, return, O Shulamite. This is her friends. This is the daughters of Jerusalem. They just saw her go. She's gone. And what do they say? Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon now, we don't have time to get in all of that Song of Solomon study. I pray you know it. And if not, get into it. But this cry of return, return in this wonderful, precious love story book of the Song of Solomon, it's perfectly telling us that these daughters of Jerusalem, and let me tell you something, they were fair. And they had the same mother. We are all birthed by grace. You'll read that in that same passage right there. They have the same mom, but she's the choice one. And she's so fair, she's the only one. But yet they heard this. They knew this. And the reason that we can say that is in knowing this, they insulted this poor woman. They mocked her. They said she was too in love with him. That there were other loves. Why aren't you spending a little more time over here or there? They discouraged her. But yet they knew that she was in first love with this one. And they saw that no matter what they could say to her, she wasn't moving. They knew that she wanted to be married. They knew that this one was out there to have a bride. They knew that offering. They're even including themselves that they knew it. It was to them, but it wasn't that important to them. And yet here she is. She's captured away by a chariot rapture. It didn't just say that she was gone and left town. She left the place. She left the planet. And you think about how they bring back in the chariot, amen? I think I remember a fellow named Elijah. See, when it's the Lord's time and he can't wait no longer, he's going to take her. Gone. Enoch walked with God. He was not. Amen? Right? Elijah going. Elisha wanted to be in that. But praise be to God, he knew how to get it, that mantle. I'm picking up that mantle. It's that truth and love. It's that anointing. That anointing is this word. And see, brothers and sisters, what happens is we're under an attack all the time, just like this Shulamite was under an attack all the time. And she was under an attack even from ones that loved her. They did. Those daughters of Jerusalem, in a sense, what it's saying here, they were her family. And sometimes the greatest defeater, truly, of going on for God's best is the family of God. They'll get you to delay. They'll get you to look at something else. You don't need to be that intense. That message that Living Waters preached isn't the only message. Well, I'm not telling you it's because Living Waters tells you that. I'm telling you that the Word of God tells you that. And the Apostle Paul tells you that. And he tells you that there is no other gospel, and he tells you to preach no other gospel. So I'm going to ask you, is there another gospel? There isn't. There's no other faith. There's beliefs, but there's but one faith. Know the Word of God. Stand in it. Be thankful that grace has caused you to receive it. I don't have to be accepted in this world. I don't. And I don't necessarily want to be. I'm not trying to cause them conflict. But as Jesus said, they hated me and they will hate you. And you don't need to do anything and they'll hate you. Let me tell you something. When you smell like Jesus, and they smell, and no offense to dogs, but they smell like that, they ain't gonna like you. So here we have this precious encouragement. She loved through it, didn't she? Yes, she did. I ain't moving. I don't care what you're insulting. He loves me. I know he's coming to get me, and whoop! And all they could say was return, 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 return. And they knew at that moment, that time was no longer. It was gone. That does. It grabs your attention. Can you see those that mocked Noah? That's another one. Oh, yes, it is. Do you know all those that died in the flood? It said that there were some just that died in the flood. The Word of God tells us that. It wasn't that all sinners died in the flood. There were just ones that died in the flood. There was ones that knew God, believed in that sacrifice, and they died in the flood. But they were still all part. Maybe they didn't mock, but they thought Noah was a nut. You mean God's going to actually judge this world? You think God's going to just wipe out all these people? Yep. Because God said it. And God's going to just lift you eight out of here? We're the only eight getting in the boat. Got some animals here. I didn't see 9 or 10. There's a perfect bridal number 8. That's all that's getting in that boat. You notice that? It wasn't an innumerable multitude that got in the boat, was it? Mm-mm. It wasn't 144,000 that got in that boat. It was 8. It's always exact. It's always the bride. That's a number of her. If you go through Scripture, you find that 8, and it repeats and gives such magnifying to the bridal number of Christ. So, there was Noah. God told him that he's going to judge the earth. And then that flood hit suddenly, didn't it? And they saw that ark lift from the earth. And they drowned in it. and it was too late. It was too late. That time was no more. It's that important. God's word is that exact, is that true. A couple weeks ago, it's impossible for God to lie. He ain't lying. He's not lying. And the motivator isn't the fear to be left behind. That's not the motivator. The motivator is the love to get there early. My family never ran real early. But this is one thing. I thank my mom. We're running early. And that was the only message in the house. We're going to be ready. It wasn't even getting ready. It's ready. That wondrous bride in those ancient Hebrew customs, she slept with her clothes on. Slept with her clothes on. Why? Because of this. Because the one who I had received in marriage, the one who I had signed the contract with that we were married, said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go prepare our house, prepare where we're going to live. You see how exact? And it's not another culture. It was the Jew. It was God's own people. And he had them magnify, even in their natural way, how the bride's going to be taken. Just be awake. Just be awake. Well, wow, that's another coincidence. They're not coincidences. It's not like, oh, wow, isn't that something? No. It's glory. And God loves us like that. And that is that readiness. And how we sleep with our clothes on is Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. And we're not asleep. We're ready. We're alive. You know how it's just that little, you know, you're kind of, you think you're asleep. It's kind of like getting ready for fishing when I was a kid. I never slept. We're going fishing that next day. I was up all night long. Felt terrible, but I love fishing, so it didn't matter. I was excited about what I knew was coming. I knew it was coming. And I didn't want to miss it. And I couldn't sleep because I was so excited. And that was just for a little fishing trip. You see how he stirs, how he readies us? Now, God is faithful. He's faithful, honeys. He's so faithful. And it's so sweet because we share this faithfulness together. We're looking at each other right now and we're agreeing. He's just beautifully faithful. And so he keeps showing us, honey, be ready. And I was thinking, as the Lord was bringing this to my heart in the Spirit, even time itself is running out. And I think that is a grace to us. You know that time has never flown like time is flying. It is. I remember as a kid, I felt time stood still. Even the young people of today, they tell you, time don't stay still. It's moving. And it's moving faster and faster. And it's harder and harder to find time. It's harder and harder to make time. It's harder and harder to give time. Because time is literally being eaten away. The demands of life, life becoming more and more every day. I'm talking about in the world. But time is becoming more and more scarce every day. And that's why it's so important, like none other time, to redeem the time. To redeem the time. And I thank God for this. Do we truly live? Is our life about living for the moment of the coming of the Lord? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just like sitting in my chair looking up and going, is Jesus coming, Jesus coming, Jesus coming. No, that's not it. I'm talking about the joy, overriding. By the grace of God, we get up in the morning. Sometimes we get a little bit clouded. Oh, I got to go to work.
or got to do this or whatever it is. But at the same time, just immediately, oh, Jesus could come today. Jesus could come today. And then throughout the day at work or whatever I'm doing, that wonderful joy comes into our hearts. Jesus is coming for me. And he's the one that does that. But it's because of this truth, and it's because, praise God, of how he gathers us. And we hear this message. See, it sparks us, doesn't it? This is what does. Nothing else does. Everything else kind of lulls us a little bit, but not this. This is the only thing that gets us up. That's it. That's what I'm living for. We get it. We agree. Praise God. We agree with him. We're one in that faith. We're one in that praise. We're one in that spirit because he's made us one for this. And brothers and sisters, we have to fight against it. The word of God tells us that not even to let one eye slumber. I want them both open. See, I kind of miss in this half when this is open. And same thing here. I need them both open. I want to have that readiness. Amen? Or having my hands to fold. And I've been injured in heart thinking about that. And I've said it many times over the years. People that you talk to about the bridal message that know it, about coming to church, well, I know it. I don't need to. That's a folding hand. That's, well, I've got it. You know, I'm just kind of hanging out. That's not ready for a marriage. I wouldn't want to marry somebody like that. I want somebody that's encouraged in cartwheeling. Okay? I want to see that love. I want to know that that person is totally upon that date. You know? That's what it should be. I think about these brides and we talk about it. You know, they're getting ready for marriage or whatever it is. You know, they're not, you know, looking at, you know, outdoor adventure and things. They're looking at wedding dresses. Maybe rings, cakes, cards, colors, all that. Now, you don't want to just get all absorbed in the event, but it's still beautiful because it's a testimony of, I'm thinking about my day. I'm thinking about my groom. That's everything to me. And see, I want to tarry a little while longer, don't you? You think Jesus had an encouragement to us when he was in that garden? And those guys are sleeping. Can't you tarry just a little while longer? I want to be alive and awake with you.
Amen. Thank you.
I don't want to be sleeping.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank the Lord. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be afraid and fear. This message does just that. And if we'll avail ourselves to hear this message, I'll tell you what, it's a given. It's guaranteed you'll be alive and awake to it. Yes, you will. It just happens. You continue to plant this and sow this and water this, that increase will come forth. I get it. I understand what Brother Hill was saying. I want beans. I'm going to plant beans. I want corn. I'm going to plant corn. If I want beans, I don't plant lettuce. If I want corn, I don't plant beets. If I want the bridal message, the only thing we plant in here is Paul's gospel. That's it. And that is the entirety of the word of God. But it's the entirety of the word of God with the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Always know it. Always thank God, praise the Lord that he's given it to us. And I'll close with this. We are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And I want that faith in love. He's a different man. I don't want to be the man Paul. I want the faith and love of Paul. And he lived present always the coming of the Lord. He lived. He didn't just talk it. He walked it. And he lived it. He only expected, brothers and sisters, to be translated by the first trumpet. Oh, yes, he did. Let's read some scriptures as we go today. This was Paul living for the coming of the Lord right then. Right just a few years after Jesus had ascended into heaven and told him, I'll come in like manner as you've seen me go, I'm coming again. And those that look for me, I'll appear a second time. He was there looking for him right then and expected to be in that company that would be alive at his coming. in Romans 13, 11, and 12. And there's so many, but it's so beautiful. And he says in 13, 11, and 12 of Romans, and that knowing that the time, when is it? Now. It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is what? Our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our. He was right in it. It was time to awake right then. The coming of the Lord was upon him. It was right then. You go on over to Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. How glorious. Paul says, for our conversation, our life, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not you look, but we look. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then finally, how could we not be rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And thanks be to God, we come to verse 15 there. And this is where we're at. This is where we're at this morning at camp, by the grace of God, till we see Jesus face to face. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. And I love that. See, we're remaining, but are we alive? Are we ready? Is this the reason that we do take breath? Is this the reason, by God's grace, praise his name, that I am a Christian? The reason I'm a Christian is to win Christ, to win him. I know I'm a son of God. I know I'm born of God. I know my citizenship's in heaven. But boy, do I got purpose to win. And this is the winning. This is the goal. This is the mark for the prize. And he says that we which are alive and remain. There's that alive to this gospel. Unto the coming of the Lord. He puts himself in this. That he is alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord. I'm in this we. Should not prevent them which are asleep. He's not including himself in them that are dead in Christ. He's living right at that moment. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That trumpet's going to blast. And here's what he says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, there he is again with us. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That didn't happen to Paul. But it's the word of God, and it's the perfect word of God, and it's the perfect will of God. And that perfect word and will of God was alive and remaining in Paul to live. The Lord's coming for me now. Now is that salvation nearer than when we believed. Goes on and on. It says, for God has not appointed us. There in chapter 5 of verse 9. He hasn't appointed us to wrath. And that word is the tribulation. God has not appointed us to go into that tribulation. You have to choose that. And you know how you choose as a child of God to go into the tribulation? You reject the bridal message. It's not your first love. You don't have to go into that. I don't want to go into that. I want to get out of here as soon as I can. And I'm telling you, I've had a pretty good life, naturally speaking. It's been sweet and wonderful because of Jesus. And I thank the Lord for it. But oh, what's waiting us? What he's prepared for them that love him? And I'll tell you, you know what he's grown in us to love him with? A bridal love. A love of faith that is fully grown. A love of faith of the mature sons of God. A love of faith that I commune with him. Praise God that I get this. I may not understand it all, but I'll tell you one thing. I know you don't lie.
And I know your words are true. And I know your promises are yea and amen. And you've told me, I want you, Jesse, to rule and to reign together with me. And I want you to be glorified together with me. And I believe God. How could we not believe God? Amen. I want to believe God. I want to be like those like Noah. You're a nut? Good. I'm getting in the boat. You're going to drown, but I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be like that Shulamite for the Song of Solomon. Praise God. You can insult me all you want. You can call me crazy. You call me arrogant. That's what children that don't understand stuff. They insult your faith. Don't let it hurt you. Pray for them. But I'm going to believe like that Shulamite. I know he's got, I know I got him. Got him right here. I got him in my pocket. I got him in my heart because he can't help but love me. He made me to love me. He made me. He saw me in love before the foundation of the world. He can't help it. As my brother said, he walked into the room and he saw me. That's the one I want. It took about 15 seconds. He looked all around. Whoa. Now that's it. He's coming for that one. Grace delivers that to you. An absolute assurance. It's the word of his grace. It's the depth, the intimacy of his heart is the word of his grace. I want that. He says it's mine. I love him. I just want that. And as what a privilege it was to share with the young people today. Didn't know what was going to be spoken. We just got in there. Didn't even know I'd be with them this morning. But that comfort one another with these words. And that's what it was. And that you talk about a divine day already. I'm just walking. Get up. Show up. And all we talked about, and they'll tell you exactly what it was. It's the comfort of this bridal truth. Told them about when I was 17, all the issues that every other 17-year-old has. Is my life meaningful? Do I need to take it? All these different things. But that bridal message came in. And it's always been my comfort. And I've faced things besides 17, 27, 37, and every year, month, week, day, in between, and hour. There's something about that bridal message. I know Jesus. He's coming. Well, and I'll just say it this way. He's coming to marry me. He's coming to marry me. And it's all by faith. Believe him? Yeah, I mean, you really believe him? Really believe him? I see that smile. That's a smile that's crossed his heart too. We got it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. And we do in your name. And Father, we thank you that you gave him so freely to us. And Father, thank you that there's a double portion awaiting you. Lord, thank you that we're your children, Father, and sons and daughters, but oh my, to be that daughter-in-law. And I kind of have a little understanding of it. What a joy it is. What a double portion. And Lord, we want to be that to you because you invested it all in your beautiful son. The finished work at the cross and the love that doesn't let us go. And the Holy Spirit that you sent and you said he's with you and shall be in you. Lord, help us to truly submit to these things and surrender now, not next week or next month, because this time is upon us. And you're sending out the alarm. I'm coming. I'm coming. And truly you said, I'm coming for you, but will you be ready? Will you be alive? Will you remain in that alive and readiness? Lord, just let it burst forth in our heart this morning. The readiness is by faith.
And I'll tell you what, we can have faith today. And I thank you for it, Jesus, because you do love us like that. And thank you that we are graced to be amongst one another, to be in a place, Lord God, just like when they heard that you put them in a place in that upper room, a sound was coming from heaven. You had something to give them, and a sound was coming from heaven. And here we are in an upper room. It's called the High Calling Chamber. I know it. Here we are, and we're waiting for a sound from heaven. And it's going to be the voice of our beloved bridegroom. And how privileged in grace we are to be amongst one another. The aristocracy of it all, as precious Brother Hill would tell us many times. Thanks be to God, Lord, we get it. And we do love one another as you have loved us. Thank you for that love to love one another. It's being manifest, Father. And I know it's all pleasing to you because it's all your Son. Thank you for the grace and opportunity to praise you in the fullness of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.